Pickaxe.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Triforce podcast. Coming at you, we're all locked inside.
Still.
For a second week, although it feels like this whole thing's moving so quick that, you know, it feels like I've been inside for 4 or 5 weeks. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm running out of a few things, and I'm not sure where to get replacements for them.
Like what?
Well, like, you know, you just, I've run out of shampoo, and I'm not sure I really want to have to go to Boots or somewhere and get some more shampoo. I suppose I could order it online, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
What do you mean?
Do you know what I mean? It's starting to, like, I found some toilet roll, right. So I'm all right for toilet roll.
What do you mean you don't know how to... You know how to order things online.
Yeah, but at the same time, I lost my headphones a while ago, and I haven't got any headphones, and I wanted to get some. And I don't know, because I normally have stuff delivered to the office, so I live in, like, a flat, and when they deliver stuff... They always, like, they don't know how to use the door system, and they don't get it delivered, and I can't go into the office and pick stuff up, and we're not even, like, getting deliveries at the office. So I'm like, it's like awkward. I'm not used to it. And I have to, it's out of my comfort zone, P-Flex.
Good heavens.
Jeez.
What a tough life.
It's just in the back of my mind, you know, it's like this unconscious kind of, I think a lot of people have this anxiety, right?
It's just hanging around there in the back of your mind with, like, cobwebs and nothing else, if that's all that you're thinking about, yeah. Right?
You're telling me you're worried that the delivery guys won't be able to figure out the door to your apartment. Is that the problem?
No.
Give them the benefit of the doubt, Lewis. Just try. What's the worst that could happen?
It sounds a lot like I was happy with the way things were, and I don't want anything to ever change.
I think it's awkward for me to receive deliveries.
I see.
And I don't normally stock a lot of stuff. Mm. You know, I'm normally a kind of day-to-day supplies person.
A just-in-time guy. You need something, yeah. You get it that moment. Yeah.
Well, this is the phrase I heard this week, actually, that's the economy that we live in. Like, everyone relies on people arriving just in time.
Yeah, yeah.
And so a lot of things are only, you know, pulled together at the last minute on the supply chain. And if one... Is it a little bit like if someone on a chain of houses falls through the whole, you know, when you're selling your house, you've got this chain of people, of 20 people or whatever, and they all have to sell their house on the same day,
yeah,
and move into the next house on the same day. And if one of them falls through, it just gets cancelled for everyone.
It sucks. Yeah.
It's a little bit like that, I think. So we don't know. Like, this is the other anxiety. I think everyone's all worried about the economy. They don't know whether this thing is going to reveal stress cracks and weaknesses. And, you know, currently, like yesterday, I heard that obviously because there's all this lockdown, all these migrant workers aren't going to be able to come and harvest all the fields. So I was speaking to my mum on the phone yesterday. In fact, on Zoom, she rang me.
Yeah, what is this? Everyone's using Zoom. I'd never heard of it before. Is this...
It's a very insecure sort of conferencing app that replaces Skype, because everyone's finally realized that Skype is an absolute piece of shit.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, fucking hell, you're kidding me? I have to Skype in. There must be something else. And it turns out there is. And this is what people are using now.
I mean, it's Google, like, Hangouts was better than Skype.
It's like a multi-window WhatsApp. Zoom. Anyway, lots of stuff. So I one story I heard this week was that the local circus, who couldn't put on their show, were applying for work on the farms, helping getting the harvest. And
wow.
I thought, that's pretty wholesome, isn't it?
Yeah, like, that's, you know, pretty cool. But would they do it
with,
like,
all the elephants,
like,
and
like
stuff
a show?
And...
Like, there's a lad on a unicycle picking strawberries. They get the trapeze artist to pick the cabbages. He's swinging down, grabs a cabbage, throws it to the other trapeze artist. A little tiny car comes out, and 30 clowns get out to start picking carrots. That'd be awesome. Yeah. That'd be the best fruit picking season ever.
I think that would be fantastic.
They're just juggling the strawberries. What? To put them in the basket. Tigers everywhere.
It's a bit,
what a thrill.
It's a bit of like World War II spirit, though, like the local people getting involved in their community because they, you know, they're either bored or haven't got, you know, can't do their normal job.
Well, apparently we're short about, I think it was between 70 and 90,000 seasonal migrant workers who generally come over from other European countries where £10 an hour or whatever is great money because you come over, you earn your money, and you go back
home,
right?
Yeah, all the Australian barmen. You're right.
So
that is it.
I don't think Australians think that £10 an hour is great money. It's a bloody shame, mate. £10 an hour, but you know, I get to live in London, I guess, with 20 other blokes. That's pretty
also,
much
live off
they
all
do
the
it.
Tips.
Yeah, and
all
the
those.
Tips.
And all those ladies.
Yeah, all the Sheilas love it, I tell you. You tell them you're an Aussie barman, they bloody love it.
The potato farming industry over here relies on migrant workers. And what they're doing is they're going to charter a plane.
Yes.
And they're going to fly over to Romania or wherever it is that they...
I'll tell you where it is.
Normally
Bulgaria.
Recruit
Bulgaria
people.
Has Bulgaria. Not closed their borders. Right. Everywhere else has. We were relying on Ukraine, apparently.
Yeah,
and
then apparently they're just going to go out into the town and rustle up some migrants and then fly them back over and they can pick the potatoes.
And pay them minimum wage.
Well, not even. I think they pay them less than minimum wage because they give them housing and they give them a potato meal every day as well.
Geez.
Do you know what they do? They go into the bars and at the bottom of your pint glass, they put a small new potato. And if you drink the pint all the way down, they say, oh, let me buy you a drink. And if the potato touches your lips, then you have to pick potatoes. There's a little reference for any historical fans of press ganging out there.
Oh, man.
Trust me, there'll be like two people that think that's funny.
Oh, man. Yeah, so it's so the weird times just get weirder, don't they? There's like all of a sudden all these weird workarounds that need to be made. Interestingly, Sweden have not done a lockdown. It's just kind of like business as usual over there, but they're just not allowed to have gatherings of more than 50 people.
More than 50, I mean,
but
yeah.
For the most part, everything, schools aren't closed, like everything is just kind of running as normal.
It's risking
over there.
It, isn't it? It's risking
well,
it.
Well, there's a lot of debate about what approach is correct.
Well, they're trying to say that if people just use common sense, wash their hands, you know, so social distancing doesn't mean that you have to lock yourself in your house. It just means be careful that you're not too close to people who are coughing and spluttering
yeah.
all over you.
I mean, no offense, but I to the Americans, but I think the average Swede has more common sense than the average American. I would hazard.
Maybe.
I could be wrong.
You might.
I think as well that I think a lot of European countries.
It's also a lot fucking colder in Sweden. I mean, they're basically staying inside anyway, aren't they?
Yeah.
If I know any Swedes, they're all playing video
but
games.
But I think in general, a lot of European countries tend to be a bit more, I don't want to say community minded, but they'll if the rules change and the government says, hey, we want to do things like this, they'll say, okay. You know what I mean? Quite kind of practical. And so, I mean, a little bit, I guess Americans tend to have more built-in cultural resistance to being told anything, even if it's in their benefit, being told to do anything. They're like, I ain't doing no hand washing, coronavirus, stay inside, bullshit. I'm going to go shoot my guns up in here. They'll do that rather than
staying. Everybody's going to get me. It's got to come through these boys first.
Just shooting the air wildly, trying to kill the virus.
It's like those guys in, where was it? Was it Florida? Where they said if we all turn our fans on and point them at the same direction, it'll blow the hurricane away or something. I don't know how much of that story is true, but there was some idea.
Teamwork.
If they all, you know, I just kind of a bit. I mean, I love Americans and I love America. It's one of my favorite countries. But you know that if the government says, hey, we should wash our hands and stay indoors, a lot of them are going to go, no one's telling me what to do, which is kind of this weird attitude where you think, oh, they're not telling you what to do. It's fucking public health advice. Why don't you just do it? But they're just like, no, it's like ingrained in them, which I also
they
like.
Have,
not being told what to do is a pretty good
rebellious thing. Nature. It's like part, it comes part and parcel with the whole land of the free
of
and
course.
The freedom and liberty and all these things.
But
that
the
not
counterpoint,
what
Lewis,
they
is
think they are.
We didn't have any kind of commons debate about whether we should have a lockdown. Like there was no political process. It was just we're on lockdown.
Yeah.
Like that's not very democratic.
Boris
really.
Just decided one day after being pressured by a lot of people, I guess, you know what they're talking about. To
and I think it's Hungary, whose leader is a bit of a shithead, has now like instigated all these really quite draconian rules where there's like, right, for the time being, there's no elections, there's no this, there's no that. So I think America's natural response of, whoa, 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 you're not telling us what to do, is actually healthy in moderation rather than the more Soviet approach, which is, okay, we're in charge forever. You're in lockdown. Anybody leaving?
All of you clowns and useless circus workers, let's get you on the farm.
Oh, I love this. It's Russian. It reminds me of when we played Hearts of Iron.
It's such a mess.
The trapeze people, they do the high ones, they do the corn, and we get the dwarves to do the digging or the potatoes.
Say dwarves again?
Dwarves.
What do you do with your mouth to make that noise?
What Russians do with their mouth, I assume.
Ah, of course.
I don't know. I've never met anyone from Russia. It's a funny time. How's it holding up with dad school? Is everything ticking over?
It's going all right.
You taught any good stuff?
Yeah, it's fine. Like my wife is just doing all that stuff, and I'm just hiding out here in the garage, and it's been working out fine.
Oh my God, have you been attending mum's school? You're actually one of the students.
No way. No, this is all going on while I'm just doing other stuff. I've been nominated as the representative of my household to go out and obtain supplies. So that's my daily job. I have to go out and get stuff that we're running.
How quickly we fall into the traditional roles in crisis situations. Yeah. The man must go out and gather bread, milk, and perhaps some cheese.
I become the hunter-gatherer of the family.
I'm surprised, because I think people were kind of fighting over that. You know, they're so crazy and stuck inside, they want to be like, oh, fuck it, please let me be the one to go out.
No.
Do the legally allowed one trip to them.
We really don't want to go out. And now my in-laws have decided that they no longer want to go out as well. So I have to drop stuff up to their place. Get stuff for us too.
Oh, right. You're looking after
I've become
the old folks next door.
I've become the lifeline for quite a few people, and let me tell you, it feels pretty good.
What did they order on their shopping list next?
They like to get the newspapers daily, some milk, you know, sometimes like they just want pork chops. Just like, all right. Just like weird stuff like that. Stuff that we don't get, you know? So it's like always a bit strange. Getting it and then delivering.
Do you reckon
it.
They're like changing their order to look more, to look less kind of, I don't know.
No,
like,
not
you know
at
when
all.
You normally
anything,
buy stuff, you go in there and you buy like six packs of hobnobs or whatever, and they're normally like, we can't put six packs of hobnobs on, you know, this list because he's going to think we're some kind of, you know, biscuit munching fiends.
Well, you would be able to buy six packs anyway because most places limit you now how much of something you can buy. And at first, there was no... I guess they just didn't tell the people who worked in the store that like the limits only apply to certain things. So at first I went somewhere, I was like, I needed to buy some milk. So I bought 4 pints of milk or tried to buy 4 pints of milk. And the guy's like, sorry, there's only a 3-item limit. You can't get this fourth pint. It's like,
but why don't you just buy a 2-pint and a 2-pint?
But I did say to him, I said, I don't think this applies to like fresh milk. I mean, if we don't buy it, it's just going to go bad, right? Like in a couple of days. He's like, no, there's a limit. And then like 2 days later, there's a big sign up on the door of the store saying that it doesn't apply to milk and stuff. So I couldn't find the guy to like point at the sign.
To chastise him.
But I knew deep in my heart that it did not apply to dairy and stuff like that.
This fucking happened to Leo. She said to me, last week that she went to buy some, I can't remember something, and she was buying some makeup and she got it to the checkout and they said to her that you can't buy makeup because it's not essential.
Right.
and she was like so confused. She didn't know what to say, I don't think. Yeah. But afterwards, you know, you always think of stuff. You're like, well, you know, it doesn't make any fucking sense.
Like
it does. There's so many reasons that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I think people have become confused and don't know what.
I think it just highlights how stupid people are and how stupid they've always been. And like even a lot of these measures and stuff further highlight that too. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think, I think this has shown that I mean, this is pretty mild compared to like some of the really serious stuff that could happen. And
yeah,
all of us are too fucking stupid to,
I mean, imagine that
to deal with any of this shit.
Is in boots, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, he needs to get his next, you know, his blush or whatever the clowns need to do their makeup.
Yeah.
And he goes to the checkout and the woman's like, sorry, this isn't essential. And he's like, well, someone's got to harvest vegetables. You know, how are we going to eat?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You expect me
is
to go
essential?
To the farm.
But like, I don't think anybody's given the right information, or they're just, they don't realize like what's going on or what, you know, like, I think people just, I think some people just want to be told what to do and they'll just follow that like to the T, right? Like they just won't. They won't question it or whatever. They just excuse themselves. They excuse themselves and all responsibility because somebody's told them what to do, sort of thing.
Like that right? test where the guy says to keep giving electric shocks to the other guy.
Yeah.
Have you seen this
test? Oh, the Milgram, yeah. The Milgram experiment.
All it takes is a guy in a lab coat to say, please proceed with the test.
Yeah.
And they'll give this guy increasing electric shocks to the point where the person on the other side is going, please, I can't take it.
Yeah, but because somebody told them to do it, they don't feel responsible for it.
Someone in a position of authority.
So somebody said to this guy one morning, people are only allowed to buy a maximum of 3 of any item. And he's just like, yep. Okay, that's it. Directive understood. He's like Skynet or something in human form. And he just,
I mean, the issue is common sense, right? Is it like there was a video going around a couple of days ago. I think it was in Barnet. There was a police officer. There was a woman marking in chalk on the pavement outside her shop the lines to show this is 2 meters. So don't stand closer than this when you're queuing up outside the shop. He comes over and starts writing her for a ticket for defacement of council property. And everybody around him is saying, this is ridiculous. And he said, the law is still the law. And I'm thinking, all right, that is a total absence of common sense. No police chief wants his police officer to come back and say, gave a ticket to someone trying to do something community-minded today, sir. Well done, Johnson. The law is the law. It has to be applied with common sense, right? So he looked like a tit. They sort of, you know, it was all over Twitter. They apologized and said, okay, no, that was wrong. But there is
a lack
of common sense.
Police have been very, very coming down hard on it. They've been like sending drones out over the sort of moors in the middle of fucking wilderness and found people walking. And they're like, oh, it's non-essential walking in the moors. And I'm like, fuck me.
But the thing is, if you give someone like the police an instruction like no non-essential trips, if you don't expand on that and define, like the it would be like the first run of rules that we got were like the very base rules for a board game. And you're finding all these holes in it, and there's a lot of interpretation, and it's just going to devolve into an argument that someone's going to flip the table. It's a badly written
set of
instructions.
It's like giving a robot an order to make ice cream, and then you just leave the robot there, and 1,000 years later, it's devoured the entire world to make ice cream.
Yes, I think Paperclips is the famous example.
The
robot where you say...
Which we went through.
Yeah.
Very bodega.
In a previous episode. Very, very bodega. If you give a... Like, I've always thought that a lot of policemen and policewomen, police officers, let's say, are very competent people, good at their job. It's a high-stress situation. They're the first ones to run into trouble, all that kind of stuff. But a lot of them are just people who didn't really know what to do and thought, I like rules, so I'll become a policeman. And they go out and they just write tickets and they're just obnoxious little rules lawyers. And you just think, why? You know, you're not serving any public service here. You're not really helping anybody. You're just being a cunt. But for some people, that's a job that they think, oh, I could be a real cunt, and the rules will be on my side for a change.
Wasn't there a politician who went home to his dad or parents or whatever, and sat and wished him happy birthday at, you know, five meters distance outside, on a chair, and the police sort of instantly were like, non-essential travel,
right?
You know, you should speak to us when you get back or whatever. And he had to like write an apologetic tweet saying, well, I was taking the essential supplies and I only stayed for a few minutes, and I just sang happy birthday and then I left. It was
very Stasi.
funny things going on. I hope everyone is all doing all right, because it is quite anxiety making, this whole thing, and we can't stop thinking about it and talking about it. And I know we're a podcast where we're supposed to be talking about other things, but nothing's coming on.
No. Just a lockdown constantly. It's like I feel like it's like the plot of a Final Fantasy game or something, or like the start, you know, like one of us.
It'd be the worst Final Fantasy game ever. You're just in a room.
Yeah, you're stuck in a lockdown. You're stuck in a lockdown, but one of us is going to break out and get like Goku hair or whatever and get a big sword and start fighting, and then Aeris will die and
ride a chocobo.
Ride a chocobo around and stuff. It feels very, I don't know, it feels like Final Fantasy 3 or Final Fantasy 7 or something out there these days.
I went to Lidl yesterday. I popped down there because we were out of milk. For whatever reason, we hadn't got milk delivered on Tuesday. So I went down and I thought, God, this is going to be hell. I'm going to have to queue outside for ages and everything like that. I got there. There's like six cars in the car park. And I get to the front door and there's a guy there with a trolley chatting to another bloke. And there's a lady behind him with her trolley. And I said, is this the queue to get in? Because Mrs. F was like, you're going to have to queue to get in, so take a book. And I was like, all right. So I got down there, and I said to the guy, are you queuing to get in? He goes, oh, no, I'm just chatting to my mate. And the lady behind him said, oh, I thought you were queuing to get in. She'd been there for like 10 minutes waiting to get in the shop, just scared. She's just waiting there with her trolley thinking, oh, this is taking forever. I just thought, it's just funny. Like, people don't really understand the rules or what's happening. So they just, very, very English style. You see someone standing outside a shop, you just queue. You just go and queue behind them. It was funny.
Yeah, at a safe distance as well. Yeah, oh, gosh, so it's not like you even look like you're queuing.
Exactly. It was like him, yeah. A big gap, her, and I was like, this must be a queue. Like, my natural, my British senses were tingling that it was a queue of some kind. But in the shop, it was like, everybody was like shuffling around to stay 2 meters from each other. There was an aisle where there was two lads, one on either side of the aisle. So I had to wait for one of them to leave and then saunter down the aisle. It was a bit weird, but everybody was doing it. Everybody was getting on with it. It was good to see.
So what was it? Was it like getting good deals? Is there anything missing?
This is the most interesting thing that's happened to us this week. Hell. Is I went to Lidl yesterday.
That's the
tell me more about it.
Tell us about your trip to Lidl.
I went to Morrison's yesterday. How about that? And at Morrison's, okay, listen to this. I get up to the till, and that you know, there's usually a pile that you put your basket in, and like these tills don't have much space for you to put a basket on top, so. They've got this like sort of workaround where they're like, put your basket down onto the basket pile. I'll take the stuff out of it and do it that way. Right, usually that's like right next to the till. But now they've moved it about a meter away from the till. So there's just like this like basket loading zone that's far away from people. So they're like, put your basket there, please. So I was like, okay, I put my basket there. And they've got this big piece of glass in front of the till.
Oh my God, it's like going into a prison.
It is. It feels like you're in a corner store in New York or something with bulletproof glass.
They like, pass you like a brown envelope with a gun
through,
in it.
Through the little thing, yeah. Yeah, and all I wanted to buy was like some peppers and some hummus. And it was like, it's really strange. It's just really, really, just really, really odd. Really odd. I don't know, like, I wonder if some of this stuff is going to stick. I don't know if, I don't know if people will remember to just go back to total normal. You know what I mean? Like, I think some of this stuff will stick around, linger around for a long time, especially if there's like a second wave of the virus or a third wave or whatever. You know what I mean? So like maybe we'll just have these stupid glass panels in front of people like in convenience stores and stuff.
Yeah, know? The psychological impact, you know, it has taught a lot of people how to use online shopping, and that is very convenient. And I think more people
sucks
will
sucks for the high street
that.
Though.
Yeah,
yeah, it does. But I think always people will need to get their hair cut. I mean, people are already going to have like, you know, long hair but coming out.
The only thing that the high street is going to be is coffee shops, hair salons, nail boutiques, and charity shops. That's pretty much what it is.
Do you reckon everyone's going to be, the next fashion is going to be the big bun, the man bun?
Big man bun. No.
Just putting it out there.
Yeah.
I fucking hope not. I'm hoping it will be bald. I'm hoping that will be the new fashion.
Well, people have been cutting their own hair. I don't know if they're going to be bicking their own heads, but they might be shaved,
it's
like doing
be like Carl,
the home haircut.
Carl Drogo from Game of Thrones. Carl.
Carl. Carl. I think it's Carl.
Carl
like
Drogo.
K-A-H-L, not Carl. Hi, Carl Drogo.
He's got
nice
the
to
bun.
Meet you.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Carl. Last name Drogo. You might have seen my man bun.
I'm out of work at the moment because I can't move my Kalasar across the desert.
Yeah, we accidentally ran him into a whole band of night wraiths and we were wiped out. sadly.
Also, I'm really sick for some reason. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm really sick. I poured a load of gold on a lad's head. Had sex with Amelia Clark, and then it's all gone downhill from there.
Not feeling good. God. Not feeling good about the whole thing.
So looking for work, picking anything you got going. Radishes.
I don't have anything.
Cabbages.
We got nothing. I need to get my greenhouse set up. It's only in the planning stages so far. It hasn't been.
It's going to stay there for a while yet.
Yeah, that's it. There's no movement on anything. Nothing's moving, you know? We're heading for another recession. There's no movement.
I think a lot of people's jobs that are going to be lost after this and during this, I think it's going to be a massive crisis after this that I'm not sure we'll recover from for a decade. I think it's going to be a real disaster.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, Ben, I'm scared about economy. Yeah, it's a classic. It's a classic thing. Yeah. It could be. It's definitely a pin that can pop bubbles, you know.
Yeah.
If we've had bubbles that are things where things are overvalued or markets are not very stable,
yeah,
it could topple the Jenga of precariously stacked.
I'm hoping that it'll put paid to the zero hours contract stuff. Maybe as a result of this, realizing just how fragile the job market is for so many people, something has to be done about that.
Yeah.
Because it's completely unacceptable to have a million new people just being unemployed because companies are like, oh yeah, we can't pay you. It's like there's a problem here fundamentally with the way it's all working when we're one crisis away from everything collapsing. Because there's going to be more crises. There's going to be more.
There will be definitely more crises. Maybe this is just like the weed of crisis. Like it's a gateway crisis, you know? And it'll lead on to some class A crises, you know, like it'll open us up.
What happened during the Second World War when most of the population of young working age men had to go off to fight?
Yeah.
Was it literally that women came in and did the jobs instead?
Yeah,
and
it was. Yeah.
That was what happened.
A lot of women had to do then what were not traditionally seen as roles for women, like working in factories, manufacturing, all that kind of
stuff.
And
then after the war, they were like, we've had a taste of it now.
That happened in America, too, during World War II when they got involved.
Well, it's where they get the idea that war is good for the economy from. War is good for the economy if you're not in the war. I mean, America didn't join the war till late
41.
Yeah,
it was great for their economy.
And so they had these 2 years of selling us stuff, you know, and they sold us
The debt that everything was lend-lease and we'll pay you back over the next 30 years or whatever.
And so that's really what catapulted America into the leaders of the world, you know, it was that
everyone else was
role.
Fucked.
But I mean, that's not necessarily the same here. It's more that the things go in cycles of good times and greed, where everyone thinks everything can't keep, you know, everyone keeps going up, you know, and then eventually it will fall apart because people get too greedy and have been too greedy. And then there's too much fear, you see, and then the fear holds everything down.
Here's my question.
And everything's driven by fear.
At the moment, people aren't able to go out and buy stuff and companies are suffering and all that. If you have a decent chunk of the population off fighting the war, people aren't going on holiday or going to the pictures as much as they used to, all the rest of it.
Yeah.
How did companies get through it during World War II?
Well, the economy was
now
was far different
months,
back then, though. Like the service,
what was different about
the service-based economies of modern times now didn't exist back then.
It was all manufacturing.
So, and back then, a lot of the manufacturing just switches. Like, we used to make pots and pans, and now we make warheads. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it was just...
It's a very similar thing today. You know, you've got... You know, awesome. GM, General Motors, is making ventilators, and you've got, you know, things like that happening already, and gin distilleries are making hand sanitizer.
But the problem is that a wider part of the economy now is made up of like food service, goods, products, like, you know, retail, all that kind of stuff, where it wasn't as big a long time ago. So now there's a lot of people who just won't have jobs because all that stuff is closed. Whereas
if it was stuff like shipbuilding,
80 years ago, it wouldn't have
mining,
mattered as much.
Yeah, all that would have carried on, and they would have been considered essential workers that wouldn't have been sent off to the war, right? Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about what kind of road we're in for, and I don't think really anyone knows. I think a lot of people are assuming that, you know, this is just a temporary thing and then we'll just carry on again. But I think it's going to reveal some bad companies. I think the government is scared that it will be a domino effect of people going bust, causing other people to go bust that are good. And it's about keeping floating good businesses that are having tough times, keeping them alive so they can not bring everything down unnecessarily.
All right, so here's what I think's happened. Have you heard of the Gaia theory? G-A-I-A, Gaia.
G-A-I-A.
The planet is a living, intelligent thing
that
responds to stuff that happens to it,
defending
itself.
Right.
So let's think of what has happened over the last 30 years, right?
Right.
Regardless of what you think of, it's nothing to do with carbon emissions are not what's causing global warming, all the rest of it. There's been mass deforestation. There's been mass extinction. A lot of animals are going. There's been mass overfishing, overfarming, all the rest of it. What has Gaia, Mother Earth, what has she done? She's decided, you know what? I need a fucking break. And I'm going to set spring 2020, all you little viral human beings that have covered me with concrete and pollution, you're going to have to stay in your little houses. And now, get this, side effects of the coronavirus, air pollution, way down. Pollution in general, way down. All these animals just coming out and they need a good spring, they've got it. And all these, the shorebirds and all the forest, everything are coming back to life. There are goats running around in Wales, in town centres, because they're free. It's like nature has been liberated for a short time.
Yeah.
I think we should have this every year, 2 months, everybody fucking stays indoors.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Mother Gaia's going to get angry, Lewis.
Well,
she's gonna
come that's
back
why
with worse.
She does already get
who
angry.
Who knows what it's going to be next time? A volcano?
She makes volcanoes erupt and she throws hurricanes at the USA and everything else.
But like they're minor compared to this.
You ever wonder why the US gets so many hurricanes? Weather patterns. It's because Gaia is so angry at the USA.
Gaia is livid.
One of the biggest polluters in the world.
No. That's because that's Gaia's butthole.
Oh, right. Gaia's butthole. That's a hurricane is her way of wiping.
I could believe that Florida is the planet's butthole, as anyone who's been to Florida will attest. Florida, the planet's ass.
Yeah.
Europe is her face. And so it's like, that's where all the volcano, like Vesuvius. When she was young, she had a lot of
spots.
Florida
is more shaped like a flaccid donger, though. So like maybe it's like...
Oh.
Yeah, but just behind it is the butthole.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, you've got like the...
That's not a...
You've got like the no man's land between the butthole
and... Do you mean the Gulf of Mexico?
The Gulf of Mexico, I guess. So, sure.
No man's land.
As we call it.
That area has many names.
I've always referred to northwestern Florida as the taint.
Right.
Of the United States. It's just it's not quite Texas, it's not quite Florida. It's just
between
the
donger.
If you've ever been to Northwest Florida, it's a taint, all right. And then you're getting into like towards Texas. What is first? New Orleans is in where's New Orleans? What state is New Orleans in? Mississippi.
Have you seen Tiger King yet, by the way? Have you watched
it? No, I haven't watched it. I
Louisiana.
My wife wanted to watch it yesterday, Lewis. She was like, let's watch this Tiger King. And I just thought, man, I don't want to watch some fucking, you know, like this guy was on Louis Theroux and I'm sick of watching these documentaries about really fucking eccentric
weird guys.
Americans who have like these fucking shady pasts and stuff. And it's,
I haven't watched it yet. I really want
to
watch
depressing.
It.
It's so depressing.
Oh, it's good. It's fucking good. It's kind of feel good. It's just mental.
Tiger King feel good when he kills a bunch of tigers, apparently?
Well, not really. He doesn't kill any.
All right, your take on this is very different from the take I've heard from everybody else who's told me to watch the show. You're like, it's a feel good laugh along. He's a good guy. Is that what you're saying?
No, he's like a wacky gay hillbilly fucking guy who lives in Florida with 250 tigers and a park and sells them illegally and all sorts of dodgy stuff, and all of his friends who are involved in big cats are also really weird. Each of them is like super weird and has a crazy story. And you know, it's, I don't want to spoil it because it's kind of it all comes out in the show, but it's really well put together. Literally every character in the show, even the ones who are supposed to be serious, are just like comic book characters. They're just wild people. There's this like smoking reality TV producer in like a fedora who speaks in this gravelly voice. And he's just so, even he's supposed to be one of the more normal people, and he's so weird. Everyone's weird.
Everything about that is just so not appealing to me. Like, I don't even want to watch it. Like, it just sounds like, it sounds like something I've seen a million times
before.
You'd
love it. You'd love it, Sips, I promise. Yeah.
I'll watch it.
I recommend it.
I'll watch it.
You'd love it.
He was on Louis Theroux. Louis Theroux actually went to his place, right?
Yeah.
There was an episode on
because that's where I'd heard of him before, and that was why. Yeah,
maybe. I mean, he's semi-virally famous for various things, I think, for over the years.
By the way, can I just advertise another podcast just briefly?
What?
Which go is for it.
The Adam Buxton podcast, which Mrs. F is a huge fan of and listens to over and like much more than the Trifles podcast.
What?
I know. It's a very good podcast. He went to school with Louis Theroux. They were in the same class.
Right.
They were like school friends. Adam Buxton and Joe
Piscopo.
Cornish.
Joe Cornish, that's right. So Adam and Joe show was something I loved when that was on TV. I absolutely loved that show. And Adam Buxton podcast, Joe Cornish is on it sometimes. And they have one with Adam, Joe, and Louis Theroux. And it is a fantastic episode. It's very, very funny.
Right.
I recommend
yes.
it.
Yes. So Adam and Joe used to do the Adam and Joe show. Yep. It was a podcast that ran for a long time. It was very, very good.
They were on telly. They had a show on telly.
Yeah, they had a television show.
The TV show wasn't great, but the podcast was excellent.
All right, the TV show was excellent. You're wrong.
The TV show is quite old now.
Quite old, Lewis. I'm 44, as you remind me last week, although you thought I was 45.
They had a Six Music show for a long time, which was podcasted, and it was great. And it was a big inspiration for... it was the first podcast that made me start podcasting, really. So, I mean, it's a brilliant show.
Yeah.
Adam Buxton, he has his own podcast now, and it's great. But sometimes the guests are shit.
Right. Yeah, sometimes the guests are very boring, I think. They just
and so
you
as
think
a
they're
result,
gonna be funny
like,
and they're not. But.
How does his podcast compare to ours in terms of like is ours number like one in the UK still? Or because it was for like a day.
No, it was never number one in the UK.
What wasn't ours podcast bigger than Richard
Jesus.
Richard Brand or whatever? Robert Richard, you know, Russell Brand.
Russell Brand.
Ours was more popular than his for a time, I think.
I can never find a chart because Chartable always wants me to pay money to look at the ratings. But I did see we were the number 5 comedy podcast in Denmark last year.
Wow. So, that's pretty good.
I'd like to know what the other 4 are.
That's pretty good.
I assume they're in Danish, but I would hope. I
mean,
but
then again, they all speak English like in Denmark, so they could listen.
There's a lot of really good podcasts out there. I've been listening to a few podcasts on the old...
Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast, Rolstapa, for any listeners of that, is very funny. He has guests on that. And again, sometimes the guests are brilliant and very funny, and sometimes they're just very serious. Especially people, what's always painful is when you look at the guests, you're like, oh, this is going to be hilarious. And instead, they're just deeply, deeply serious. And you think, okay. Because some comedians are like that. Some people, they write very funny, they are very funny, but when you talk to them, they're just very, very serious people. And they just don't, you know, they can't just be funny on command. To them, it's like a craft, like an actor, really, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, you think actors are going to be fascinating, but they're fucking dull. Like you chat
and
to
you can't tell if
boring.
They're acting in front of you as well.
Right.
Like some of them. Because they might be like, hey, you're the best. You're such a cool guy. I'm so glad I met you. But then they might just be acting when they're saying that.
Right. You can't trust an actor.
Right.
Never trust an actor.
Here's something for you guys. You're not going to care, but it's not interesting. But here you go. World of Warcraft Shadowlands takes players to the afterlife. Okay, this is where we're at with World of Warcraft. While squishing the level cap to 60, so we had to go through expansion after expansion of I'm level 5,000 now, and now it's just going back down to 60. After all that.
So my eldest wants to play World of Warcraft.
Really?
So I told her that back in the day, that was like the game that everybody played.
Yeah.
And I said, I reckon you'd really like it. I reckon she would really like it. So if I was to get her to play World of Warcraft now, would it be worth starting from scratch, playing through it? Do you think she'd have any fun with
Probably
it?
Probably not. No. Does she like role-play games? Does she like
she
the fantasy setting?
I
mean,
yeah,
later on in the game, there's lots of like Pokemon battles and pets to collect and shit like that.
I mean, it would literally everything that I know about World of Warcraft. Is
I'm not
so
saying this because she's
alley.
A girl. I'm saying this because she's younger, right? And
no,
that's probably
I understand.
Appealing
I absolutely
to
understand.
to younger kids.
I mean, she loves Pokemon. She loves role-playing games. She loves having a character.
Right. Well, she'd probably then, yeah.
She would. I was thinking, but right, but is
Does she
is
like
World
to collect
Warcraft,
10 bear noses for the
I bet she would
local
love it.
Town dwarf?
I guarantee you she would live and breathe this game.
Right, okay.
Would you rather... Are you okay? I mean, World of Warcraft is the ultimate single-player game with other people who, when you meet them...
You
don't
just
want
show
to
off
with
all your achievements to them in various ways.
That's, right. And so, that's what you've got to understand.
I have flame armor, and this is my cool title that I achieved, and here's my cool mount that I bought and stuff.
But if you want the game, there's other games out there which do the same thing without the grind.
What,
a classic example would be Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning, which came out in 2012,
right,
which is basically single-player WoW.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a semi-open world thing, very similar quests.
But yeah, your 10-year-old daughter might really like that one, actually.
She's 11 this month.
Right.
And I'm thinking when I was her age, if I'd had World of Warcraft when I was 11, I think it would have absorbed my life, right? Like, especially from vanilla. Like, it would have been all me and my friends talked about, and we would have played it for hours. And I'm thinking...
Well, that happened to me when I was 24, so...
Right, exactly. But I'm thinking, is it right? Like, part of me thinks, I know she'd love this, but another part of me thinks she'll have to interact with WoW nerds.
It's 10 bucks a month still, too, eh?
Chat to them. Yeah, it is 10 bucks a month, but I don't mind paying that. If she's,
has she played Skyrim?
I don't think Skyrim's up her street, honestly.
It's a bit grim, right. Skyrim, isn't it? It's not like...
Yeah.
At least with WoW, it's got that sort of cartoony look and stuff. And like some of the locations in WoW are very like aesthetically pleasing, aren't they? Whereas
but I'm just thinking,
Skyrim
is
has one
now?
Dungeon texture.
Right. Is it like dead now at the start? Like, if you go in as level one, is there just going to be no people around?
Yeah,
and it's
probably,
just
yeah. But, that's not... like Lewis said, though, it is the ultimate single-player game, isn't it? It just happens to be... There happens to be other people around, but it doesn't make a difference because you're just going and doing quests and stuff and exploring. Like, if she's never played World of Warcraft before, there's lots of, like, cool places to visit and things to do and stuff. Like, I'd imagine a 10-year-old would like it.
Yeah, I'm thinking she would.
Yeah.
If anyone has any suggestions, I'm not going to do it yet, but I'll be interested to see what people think. I am worried about the interactions with all the sweaty people my age that have been playing WoW and the people that do the fucking sex RPing in WoW. And I'm just like, if she bumps into them...
Goldshar, yeah, don't let her go to Goldshar, but also just don't let her go into trade chat either, because that's where all
right,
the
exactly.
trolling and
but
stuff
But I'm like,
happens.
How can I police that? Unless I sit with her the whole time she's playing WoW, how do I police that? Like, it's tricky.
I think you just do single. There's better single player game fantasy RPGs.
Yeah,
stuff,
why don't
but,
you
I mean,
get
like,
a like Octopath Traveler or something like that? Like, you know,
yeah,
like a
there's
Square
loads of really
RPG.
Good ones. Octopath yeah. Traveler, great example. Yeah, I'd be like if anyone has any other suggestions for Period's 10-year-old daughter, that are not WoW, I would please.
That's one
ask
thing that
so
we're
many.
Sort of we're always hesitant. Like with my son wants to play like Minecraft mini games and stuff, and it's like. Okay, but I don't want him going on servers with like fucking sweat lords who are swearing and like being
right.
being assholes to people or you know what I mean? Like we don't know who's on there, so it's like we don't want to let him on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And World of Warcraft would probably be the same, you know. You don't know who's you don't know who's around or who's doing what.
Can you turn off all chat with other people and just be like if I could create an account that says, like, no interacting with other people, no talking with other people don't exist, it's just a single-player game, NPCs, that's it.
I think there's better games than WoW, honestly, thinking about it.
Also, I think you've got to understand WoW is built like a Skinner box. It's built to, like, psychologically get its hooks into you so that you never quit. Because you never get a sense of achievement in WoW. It's never over. At least in a single-player game, you play it to the end and you're like, okay, I can move on with my life. I achieved that. Chapter with WoW, you've got collections that are never completed.
Yeah, what are they? All the Final Fantasy games are like have been remade or are being remade. Some of the original, like the NES and the Super Nintendo titles that came out, are really good.
I understand that. However, I'm trying to steer her away from anime. She's already kind of intrigued by
no, but
stuff like that. So
that's not full on.
Final Fantasy
Final
isn't
Fantasy
anime.
Isn't full on
what
anime.
What are you talking about?
Fine.
Look at it.
It's got elements anime, of anime, but like everything does.
That's my point, is I'm trying to steer away from that It's like desert. What is it called? Desert Online? Desert something online? What's that called?
PFLEX.
I think it is actually called Desert
what you
Online.
Do, why are you doing this? It's like, instead of, you're like, I'm scared of my daughter getting into weed, so I'm going to give her heroin.
I don't want her to play games that are actually appropriate like, for her. I want to somehow change inappropriate games to be appropriate for her. Like,
exactly.
This sounds like the dumbest thing to do.
It's not.
I'm going to give her a small amount of heroin so she doesn't get hooked on weed.
No, it's like, weeb. What? I don't want to get hooked on weeb with Lewis. Yes.
God damn.
Yeah. Fair enough, though, I suppose. Look, a little bit of anime never hurt anyone.
Oh, I did.
Just saying.
Honestly, the Final Fantasy games, like, I don't even like anime, and I played them when I was younger. And
I didn't even realize that was anime.
Was
and I played all the Final Fantasy games. I loved them. They were great when I was a kid.
Around
sure.
that age, too, Secret of Mana. They've just re-released Secret of Mana, I think. That's another pretty good
what,
one.
Wait, what 3D platform? Remake could she get it on a Switch, do you think? I'm just going to fucking get
it.
Yeah,
the new Secret of Mana game is on Switch, yeah. But there's you can get PC. There's a whole bunch of stuff available on Switch. There's, I think you can even get a bunch of the Final Fantasy remakes for the Nintendo DS, the handheld one, DS X or whatever.
She's got Switch now.
So. There's so many games, honestly, out there these days.
That would be that, more appropriate than an online MMO.
But also,
MMO.
They're so much more spoiled than we were. You know, we literally would go, we had to gamble, didn't we? We had to buy a game and hope it was good, and then you play it to absolute death.
Yeah.
Because that's all you had. You know, we were a different generation.
Different
but now
times!
I feel like WoW was a bit like that even back in when it came out. Like, there was nothing really else out at the time that was anything like it. So you just sort of, whether you liked it or not, you just kind of played it, right? It was just, it had that similar effect. Whereas like, now, hey...
And my only tip is to avoid games that are built to, you know, free to play or kind of resubbing, but games that aren't like movies, you know, like in a sense that they're designed to
keep you in, like through
to keep you hooked.
Various mechanics.
So,
they're
the ones I would stay away from. With a real
if we're talking about games,
just so addictive.
We're talking about games quickly before we end. Mountain Blade 2,
Bannerlords
came out. Yeah,
we've been caning it. Oh my god, it's taken over my life.
Yeah. So the first like 5 hours or so of playing it, I hated it. I thought it was awful. Like, I just hated it.
What did you not like about
it? I hated it. I played it for five hours and I hate it. I can't, literally my playtime is 5 hours and I can't
go
back.
It's just, it plays like a game from 10 years ago with no indication whatsoever of how to do anything or what to do. There's no like, there's all
the
these
graphics
like
are 10 years out of
buttons
date.
All over the UI.
I think I did the same quest 4 times from the same guides, but
there's
with different
a lot,
names.
There's a lot that's not very good about it. But having played it much more than 5 hours now, I understand the appeal. I can see, like, I am into it. I like it a lot now.
Have you got a castle yet?
Yeah, I've had a castle. I've got a castle. I've been doing all sorts of good stuff and it's been fun, but holy shit, getting into it. I think the thing is that a lot of people played Warband, which it's very similar to. So I think if you played your 15,000 hours of Warband and that was your favorite game for a decade, you're fine. You know, like there's not much new, but it's familiar and it looks better. The graphics are much better and stuff. But for somebody who hasn't played much of the franchise of Mountain Blade games, it's very frustrating to get into because
it's
so poorly designed in places. It's staggering, really. the fact that it took 10 years
for them to
release this as well is like the icing on the cake.
One of the first things I did was I went into like a fight with some bandit hideout or whatever, and I had a bow and a sword, but I couldn't switch to my bow. Apparently it's numpad keys. Didn't realize that. I was just trying to use every other control on the keyboard.
You can mouse wheel up and down.
It wouldn't work. It wouldn't mouse wheel up to bow between bow and sword. So
you want a horse with a bow that can't equip on a horse?
Yeah, but
bows can equip on a horse.
This is that game. This is that's this game in a nutshell though.
Yeah.
Was it a waxing moon and was there 5 clouds in the sky when you were trying to do A? Oh, okay, that's why you couldn't do it. You had to do B in that situation.
Yeah, there's no help.
That's that game. That is a perfect summary of how this game
works.
It's
similar to the old Mountain Blade. Like, I used to play Mountain Blade. I loved Mountain Blade.
Sure,
riding around. And I played the Lord of the Rings version.
Sure.
And now there's going to be Game of Thrones mods for this. It's great.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is
like,
super
if you
could
get past the initial frustrations, it opens up and it's like, okay, I understand this is actually really good. It's got a lot of potential, like if people mod it and stuff. And apparently people are already starting to mod it like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Fixing it because, like, I guess the developers will just take like far longer to get around to fixing this stuff or whatever.
Well, it took 10 years to get this far. Yeah. So,
but it's an interesting one. It is really interesting. It's good.
I can't get on with it.
But yesterday I defended a castle siege. Okay.
Right.
I think it was bugged because there was like horse riders inside the castle. All of the people inside the castle we were defending, me and like some other lord who had like a way bigger army than me, everybody was stuck inside the castle. Okay. Nobody could get out. And there was it was like a 400 man army outside the castle, just like, you know, like the treadmill walking against a wall. Like because they didn't build any siege equipment, and the two ladders that they built to get up, for 400 people, they built two ladders. That went up to the side of a castle. It bugged out where they were meant to land, like on the top. So they would get teleported to the roof of this like little place that they were in. And there was just like a company of guys up there just slaughtering them as soon as they came up. This went on for like an hour and a half, okay? It took forever. We finally got them all killed. And then we were like, okay, cool. Like we killed everybody. And I looked and there's like seven guys left. Like they'd started retreating and stuff. So I was like, ah, fuck. Okay. We're stuck in the castle and there's seven guys left out there that we can't find. We just couldn't find them. So I'm trying to open the doors and everything. Can't open any of the doors. You can't open the gates, nothing. There's all these guys inside the castle or whatever. So I had to get on a horse and I had to jump off of the side of the castle walls and almost kill myself. Okay. So that I could open the castle gates from the outside, okay? I opened the castle gates, just went right up to them and opened them up, no problem. So I open them up and all these guys spill out and they're hunting the lands for these seven straggling guys that are still around. And
fuck me.
Yeah, and what was happening was while the troops were retreating, they were getting stuck in scenery. So they were just treadmilling like inside tents or against trees that they couldn't get past. So we tracked them all down and then there was only one guy left, okay? So all of a sudden, every fucking friendly unit on the map just beelines to this one position where this one guy is stuck inside a wall of the castle, okay? I couldn't clip into it. I couldn't see it, nothing. And everybody is just trying to like desperately get to this guy who is like trapped inside of a wall. It was hilarious, but fuck me. It's just so...
It's such a buggy
piece of crap. In the end, I had to kill myself. And then I had to retreat from the battle, and then it had to auto-resolve, which didn't give me like half of what I would have gotten had it just like, had we been victorious, had that guy not been stuck in the wall. And it's like, oh man, there's things that I love about it, and there's this
similar thing
that
happened to me,
mind-blowingly stupid about it.
And yeah.
Like, so I ended up like, unmounted, and there was like three guys left, and two of them were like in a trench, like glitched. And then one guy was fighting me, and I didn't have a weapon because I'd used my bow and I'd fired my seven arrows or whatever. All I had was fist. But I found out early on in the tutorial that if you just ran circles around the guy, he couldn't hit.
Yeah.
So I just ran circles around him and punched him to death. But it took me about 20 minutes because the punch does like one damage. So I'm punching him in the back of the head for like 20 minutes. He finally fucking dies. And fortunately, the other two guys were fairly easy to dispatch as well because they were glitched out. But, and I won and I was like, fuck me, what is this game? Like, I don't, it's like, I don't know. It's, I think it needs a bit more work, but
it's version 1.0.0.
You're already, just you telling me that story already makes me want to get back into it. Weirdly, like those things would normally put you
weirdly
off. Weirdly,
I know. The battles are really fun though. Like they're really well done. The music and everything and like just the atmosphere of the really big battles is awesome. Like you're just on your horse and you're commanding your troops around and stuff. It really does ramp up.
Well, because I'm really into this, you know. I'm into that sort
of
thing.
The hideout mechanic itself is like a...
Oh, that sucks.
From what I understand, was in Warband, and it sucked then, and everybody complained about it, and it still sucks, and people are still complaining about it. And what a lot of people just do is they just don't even do
Which is the Lord of the Rings... Bannerlord, you mentioned PFLAX.
For the old Mountain Blade, like the original...
Oh, there's a mod.
There was a mod where it changed everything into... You had the Uruk-hai orcs, and you had this, that, and the other, and you could pick what faction you wanted to be. So you could be an orc if you wanted to be, or you could be like a dwarf, whatever. And all the units and the places were, you know, it was the map of Lord of the Rings. Like, and they'd added a few locations and stuff like that. It was great fun. Like seeing a shitload of orcs was awesome.
I'm surprised there are more of these things.
Well, there will be for this, Lewis, but it's only just come out like 2 days ago. So,
The thing is, we played Conqueror's Blade, remember, which is like the MMO version of this, which is actually, I think, pretty fun.
I enjoyed it. Yeah, I thought it was.
And coming from that to this, it's kind of a very stripped down.
It's you don't very basic. Have any of
the, you don't have any of the RPG elements really in terms of like, you know, building up your army and training them and all the skill trees and all that. Right. Well, you do have it, but it's
but I will say far this. More grindy and sort of like
the armies, like you can have a huge fight, like 500 versus 500, and I haven't seen any lag or anything like that. Like it's really it's quite impressive actually.
Yeah,
like when you have
but the graphics engine's a lot crapper.
It is, but when you have like a shitload of cavalry charging into a shitload of infantry, it feels kinetic, like bang, you know, you like smash in there. I really like.
Yeah, I got like cool. this huge fucking like. I've got like this massive like glaive thing that I can couch it and just run into people with it and fucking one shot them, and it feels great.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh man, it's so good. And then I could do these like leg sweeps on it and like one shot people with it and stuff too.
I love it. It's a fun game. It's goofy as hell, but it's fun.
It is goofy. Yeah, there's definitely isms to it once you sort of get past them, but it can be very fucking frustrating.
Yeah.
Still. So I've been playing Metro Exodus, which is good fun. I've been playing Doom. I've just got Doom Eternal. I completed the original Doom 2016. Really liked it. Got that. I bought home my VR kit to play Half-Life Alyx, but my Oculus needs a DisplayPort, and I only have a laptop here.
Oh right.
So I can't actually do that, which is a bit annoying. So I wanted to check that out. So I might see if I can. I don't think there's even a HDMI to DisplayPort adapter. I don't think that even exists.
It's funny you should say that, because when I got my PS4 and I wanted to play Red Dead Redemption, I had at the time a DisplayPort monitor with no SVGA port or whatever, and or HDMI port, I should say. So it was like, okay, I'm sure there's an adapter for this online. If you want an adapter that turns a DisplayPort output
feed
into HDMI, you need a special kind of adapter. Like one way, no problem. The other way, big problem. So if I want to plug my PS4 into my monitor, my mate was like, just get an adapter. And it's the wrong way.
Right.
All right? The adapter is the wrong way.
That's what I found.
The one that you need is a powered adapter. But the one I got did fuck all. It didn't work. So it's a very tricky thing to turn HDMI into DisplayPort was shit. It just wouldn't do it. But you should be able to turn DisplayPort into HDMI fairly easily.
This is like the dad chat of like, did you take the M4
and
then the A127?
Oh, that was the big mistake. You didn't take the A32 after 6 o'clock at night in a waxy moon with 5 clouds in the sky. It's Mountain Blade 2 Bannerlord IRL.
But also I've been playing Tabletop Sim. I played a game of Dead of Winter last night on Tabletop Sim. And it took a while to learn, but it's actually quite fun. We pretended that we role played that the coronavirus was loose and we had to stay inside the base and cure it. So we had to collect medicine and fight off like hoarders and stuff. It was good fun. Me and Rithian and couple of guys. So I encourage you to
play Tabletop Simulator.
Chat to your friends and play Tabletop. Play a board game that you know on Tabletop Sim.
Nice.
I taught everyone Catan on Tabletop Sim the other day as well.
Game.
Yeah, they'd never played it. Like so many people had never played Catan.
I think the first time I ever played it was when we went to Seattle, that trip to Seattle. That was the first time I'd ever played it.
Oh shit, in the board game cafe place.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Tabletop Sim.
It's wholesome.
Tabletop Sim seems pretty good. I've never gotten into it because I didn't like the support for it, like that you have to pick up like the pieces and stuff like it's a real board game. I don't know. I just didn't like that about it.
And yeah, that's part of it.
I know, I know. There's
some really dedicated
it,
workshop people who have really remade these board games so authentically and put like scripts in and stuff.
We played Secret Hitler on the Tabletop Board Simulator is
really, that's quite
good.
That's quite easy game to play.
Yeah, because most of it is talking, so the board stuff is not that bad. Yeah, but it was a fun one.
Terraforming Mars.
Apart from sometimes people accidentally turn their cards over like dunces, and you'd know who was. For
you guys should play Terraforming Mars, Lewis, if it's on there.
Yeah, that might be on there.
Oh, it's gonna be on there for sure.
Yeah,
Flax knows. Let's have a look Flax now. Knows.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Anything that's any good is usually on there.
All right, everybody, listen. That's enough from us. I have to go and do my... I'm the nominated grocery shopper person for mine and another house, so I have to go. I have to go do these shoppings. Wish me luck. Hopefully I don't get contaminated while I'm out there. I've got my hazmat suit on, and I'll piss on myself regularly to make sure that I'm cleansed and all that kind of...
That's all in line with government
post-apocalyptic stuff there. And stay safe. Try not to get contaminated. And hopefully this will all be done soon and everybody can go back to normal.
Thanks for listening, guys. It's nice. I mean, we honestly do this podcast just to check in with each other.
<It's> we like don't really talk to each other much otherwise. So it's,
we're not really trying to entertain you. No. Sorry, we're just spouting whatever's garbage is on our mind.
Well, everyone's in the same situation. I know a lot of people listen to this podcast to help them go to sleep. This is the episode.
This is the one. Sorry. Yeah. This has been a sleepy one.
Not too much shouting.
No.
All right. I'm going to go and eat some radishes and be healthy. And
good
stuff.
Luck.
I'm on some a new health radish. Kick.
What a day.
Thanks
Brian.
For listening. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye.